than just the taste. I'm Scott Curry with Chef's Best. We gather to talk about the trends in marketing, retail, and production in food and beverage that are shaping the industry. Today, we are joined by Dan Klein. As far as I can tell, Dan has had one real job in his life, and that is as CEO of Tiesta Tea. Sitting currently at number 759 on the Inc. 5000, who would blame him? I'm sure there are more than a few lessons he has learned along the way, and we'll chat about them. Dan, congratulations on your designation as an Inc. 5000 company. You and Patrick founded Tiesta Tea in 2010, but your relationship goes much further back than that. So welcome to the podcast, and tell me a little bit about the journey that brought you here today.
First off, Scott, thank you very much for having me today. I really appreciate it. It's great to connect with like-minded businesses, and I love being able to share our story and our experiences, with a greater audience. So thank you for the opportunity. It's funny. You mentioned, Patrick and I have known each other for quite some time. We actually went to preschool together. So we first met when we were 4 years old, and went to the same preschool nearby both of our houses, and grew up very close. Spent a lot of time playing sports together. We were on a lot of the same sports teams in high school. We worked on some things together. And, coming into college, I went to the University of Illinois down in Champaign. I was in the finance program over there. And, a couple of years in, I wanted to kind of, see what was out there a little bit in terms of the world. And I got a chance to actually study abroad. So I went out to Milan in 2009, and Patrick was also abroad. He was in Paris in 2009 as well. And so, one of the things that was kind of cool is we got to take these weekend trips. And so we took a weekend trip to Prague in 2009. And as we were walking around the city, because it's a very walkable city, we noticed just a huge amount of tea houses and tea shops. And at the time in the US, there wasn't really that kind of infrastructure for tea. And so we kind of said to ourselves, well, is there something here? I mean, because these teas were just amazing. They were, super flavorful and full leaf, prepared nicely. And it was a great experience for us. You walk around all day, it's nice to sit down somewhere, that's not a Starbucks. And what we found out, after that trip was tea is part of the fabric of society in Europe and in a lot of places around the world. In the United States, it's a little bit different. The U.S. is mainly a coffee drinking nation, but that's changing. There's been a lot of statistics on that recently. And what you're seeing is you're seeing an emergence of tea. And so in 2010, we went to the World Tea Expo. We got connected to the founder of the World Tea Expo from one of my good high school friends, and he connected us. We went to like a new business boot camp where we learned about, how to start a tea business. What are the things that you need to consider? At the time, we were thinking that we were going to do a tea cafe. So, similar to what you would see, with Starbucks, but just with tea. And as we were going through, developing the business, we were actually part of an incubator called Illinois Launch at the university. They gave us grant funding. And one of the things that they would do is they'd put you in front of investors. And so we were fortunate enough to meet the founder and CEO of Jimmy John's Gourmet Sandwiches. And so Jimmy John, his name is actually Jimmy, which is pretty crazy. He basically, when we did this investment pitch to him, he called us the next day, called us in his office. He's like, guys, come on over. I'm coming back from my private jet. I want to talk to you guys about what you guys are doing. You guys are doing some great things, but I can help you out. So we went over to his office. We sat down, and he proceeded to basically kind of rip apart our current business model. And essentially what he said is, guys, you don't have the capital, to open your own shop right now. He's like, that's just not in the cards for you. He said, why don't you sell to other businesses? He's like, there's all these businesses out there, that need tea. He's like, why don't you just sell to other, other people? Because at least then you can kind of get rolling. And so we did that. He helped us with some of our design. So he helped us develop our logo, stuff like that. And we were off to the races. You know, that summer was a great one for us. We were able to do some farmers markets. We had a weekly spot at the farmers market down in Urbana, Illinois. And we would just, you know, crank tea out. And so that, you know, the night before we'd be brewing tea all night. And then, you know, come to the next day at the farmers market and sell, you know, hundreds of cups and bags of tea. And that's really when we kind of said to ourselves, like, there's really something here. We were probably 2 months into the business and we're like, this could be a livelihood for us. So stayed down in Champaign for a little while. We had a small office, in that Illinois incubator. And then in 2011, or at the end of 2010, we basically said, you know, we've kind of tapped out the central Illinois market. There wasn't just, I mean, you know, down central Illinois, there is quite a bit, but you know, it's not like a market like a Chicago, you know, or a major city. So we saw the opportunity to come back home. We're both from the Chicagoland area. And so that's what we did. So we came back, we worked in our parents' basements for a couple of weeks. And then after that, realized that that wasn't going to work out for us. We just had too much to do and we needed some place that we could work without distraction. And so we ended up renting a house in Wrigleyville, just like a block away from Wrigley Field, you know, the famous Wrigley Field. And we ran the business out of there and we would go door to door, you know, knocking on different restaurants, food service outlets, cafes, you know, grocery stores, gourmet food stores, you name it. We would knock on their door. And so we actually did this, not just in Chicago, but we did this in about 6 or 7 cities across the U.S. So we did New York, we did Philadelphia, we did Seattle, Vancouver, Milwaukee. And at the end of it, we had knocked on, you know, we kept track, obviously, of every, you know, every lead. We'd go into these stores, we'd drop off samples, you know, get a business card, follow up with them, go to the next one. And so we did that. We did that to 500 stores and our sales skyrocketed. And we were like, okay, now, you know, now we have a little bit of a business. So we hired a couple of people, you know, again, you know, friends, you know, people that were close to us, you know, that saw an opportunity to do something a little different. And so those early believers for us were huge. And so, you know, for a little bit of time, we were just a 4-person company. It was very, very simple. And, you know, it changed very quickly from, you know, just, you know, Patrick and I doing it to, you know, other people being involved in the business. And so we took that. We got our first major grocery chain, Mariano's. They're very popular here in Chicago. They're owned by Kroger. They have about 40 stores. And the buyer, we cold called the buyer. We had a meeting with her in Milwaukee and she said, guys, I'm looking for tea. And you guys seem to have a great product. And she's like, if you support it, we'll do it. And so we launched like 30 flavors in their first store. And then they started growing. So at the time they were 1 or 2 stores. Now they're about 40. So, you know, we had the luxury of being able to grow with them. So around 2011, we got our first distribution deal with KE, and then another one with UNFI or United Natural Foods. And that's really when the business started to take off. Started placing product in lots of stores very quickly. I think, you know, by 2013, we were up to a couple thousand stores. 2014, another 1,000. And we sit here currently at about 6,000. And so, you know, one of the things that's been interesting about our business is it's changed a lot over time. And so we went initially from just selling packaged tea products, you know, like a tin or a pouch of loose leaf tea and maybe some accessories. In 2014, we started actually supplying grocery chains with our tea in bulk so that they could put it in like a scoop bin. So we tried that for the first time at Safeway in Northern California. They gave us one store, you know, it's kind of similar to the Mariano's deal. Hey, if you can make this work, you know, we'd love to do business. And so we made it work. I got a call from Safeway a couple of weeks later. He told us that we were one of the top selling products in his entire bulk section. And we were just ecstatic. And that ended up being a huge, huge opportunity for us because now we have 400 of those across the country. So we call them our loose tea scoop stations. And there's different variants of them. You know, some are small, some are standalone, some, you know, are in the tea aisle, some aren't, some are in produce. But we basically took an idea that, that, you know, this buyer gave to us at a trade show, and we turned it into, you know, a multi-million dollar revenue stream. And it, you know, it wasn't a quick, you know, it didn't happen overnight, but it's a big part of our business now. And so, you know, here we are, we have about 17 employees, you know, just a great, great staff. A lot of people have been here quite a long time and have really, you know, been with us, you know, basically since the start. And it's just been an incredible experience for us. And so kind of looking forward to, you know, what we're working on for next year. So we have a big launch scheduled with Target in January. We're going to be putting our loose leaf tea. We're going to be brewing it up cold brew style and bottling it. So we're going to have a bottled tea product refrigerated, hit the market sometime in January, and that'll be in almost 1,000 of Target stores. So that's going to be a big opportunity for us as we move forward. It's a market that we wanted to tap into for quite some time, but you know, we wanted to make sure the timing was ready for us, and now it is. And so, you know, in addition to expanding stuff like that, we're now starting to get back into the food service and restaurant space. We're working on a deal with a pretty good sized chain that's very health focused about doing their iced teas. And it's, you know, you look at the business now and where it's at, and it's just a completely different business than when we started. You know, competitors competitors go. There's a lot of market changes going on, but at the end of the day, there's kind of one thing driving this all, and it's this overall trend towards health, wellness, natural. Tea is one of the perfect products for that because tea is super, super healthy for you. You know, it has, you know, different teas have different health benefits, and that's how we categorize our teas actually. So we have five different lines of tea, you know, that have different functions and different flavors, and it's been really, really successful for us. And, you know, we've had so much help along the way. We've raised capital a few times. We have a great investor base, and it's really been, you know, an amazing ride. And in some, you know, I always like to say we're kind of just getting started. I mean, we've been doing it 7 years, but it every day almost feels like the first day that you start a business, and the craziness never stops. And, you know, it's not easy being an entrepreneur, but it's rewarding, especially when you have success.
Great story. So there's a few lessons there. So let's pick a couple of them out. And share with any other entrepreneurs. One that I hear is get ready to grind. I mean, you guys were grinding early. So that's pretty clear. Two is, and not to in any way take away from any of your, you know, your success through hard work and, you know, clearly you've got a head on your shoulders, but you had good timing too. I mean, you know, if you had, if you and Patrick had visited Europe in, 2003, it may not have been the right timing, but you had timing on your side. You were ready to kind of ride this wave of you know, perhaps an embrace or transition towards tea. And then another is, you know, you were fortunate to have a very strong mentor that believed in you. And one could even perhaps say that what was more important was belief in you and Patrick more than the idea itself. You know, for someone with the stature of Jimmy to say, hey, let's talk and you know, provide such straightforward advice, blow up the business plan, if you will, clearly means that what was most important there is he believed in you. So, you know, that's something you generally hear. And I think probably one of the bigger lessons is you weren't beholden to your own idea and original business model. You know, they call it, you know, throwing out the baby, that you were willing to, you know, adjust early and rapidly rather than, you know, spend all your time and whatever capital you had on your original idea for 2 or 3 years. It sounds like you're willing to change early. So, you know, it's funny when, you know, there's nothing new to those four lessons learned right there. You can read those in pretty much any, you know, any business publication at this point. But what's cool is you're proving them in that, you know, you got to be willing to grind, have some good timing, you know, align and surround yourself with the right people, you know, and be willing to adjust and change your business model. Would you agree with that?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, I'm fortunate enough to get the opportunity to speak on campus, a lot of different universities, you know, in the state of Illinois. And, you know, I have kind of a list of different, you know, bullet points at the very end that I talk about with regards to entrepreneurship. And, I talk at length about the grind because, you know, grit, grind, all of those different words put together, that's really the thing that has to be there. If that's not there, you're not going to have success, period. Right. It just doesn't work that way. You could have all the money in the world. You could have the best idea in the world. If you're not really willing to put your full heart and soul into it for a good portion of time, then it's very difficult to have success. And you know, you're exactly right. We did adjust early, and it's funny looking back on it. I mean, you know, what if we had started cafes? Would we have been successful? You know, I'm not sure we would have. It's a tough business model, and it's something that, you know, something that I always kind of ponder as we move forward. And you know, really the last, you know, the timing is something that, just worked out perfectly for us because, a couple of years after, we started the business, Starbucks purchased Teavana for a huge sum of money, started running their stores. And then ironically enough, in the last year, they're actually closing those stores and they're now integrating Teavana into Starbucks stores. So that's why you're seeing, you know, when you go into a Starbucks, you see all this Teavana. They've had a lot of success with the brand, and their brand has also been focused on loose leaf. And so have we. Our product's much more affordable and it's a little bit easier to digest, from a attribute standpoint. But, you know, at the end of the day, there's just so much tea drinking going on. It's really, really just a super fast growing category. And it's growing in premium. So, you know, it's not the, tried and true brands that are providing that growth. Some of those brands are actually down in the market right now. It's these premium brands like us, you know, and many, many others. And then, you know, last but not least, the mentorship has been a huge piece for us. It's something that we believe very strongly in, you know, and we don't just have mentors. Some of our staff has mentors too. And I think to have that type of mentorship, you know, for us, it kind of came natural because, you know, we would go in to meet with a mentor and say, listen, guys, like, we don't know all the answers. In fact, we don't know many of them. And, you know, we would come to them and say, guys, you know, what do we do with this? You know, how do we handle, you know, hiring our first salesperson or hiring our first marketing person or, you know, how to launch in a grocery chain, you know, all these different things that you can't read in a book. There's no book for that. There's no class for that. The only way to learn it, I truly believe this, the only way to learn it is through other people. And that's why mentorship is so integral. And we were very lucky that, you know, being from Chicago is a huge food and beverage scene. And then, you know, not only on kind of like the restaurant and bar side, but it also has a huge scene in terms of manufacturing for food. So there's just tons of iconic food companies that are based here in Chicago. And, you know, we've started up networking groups, you know, we've been a part of networking groups that are just focused on food and beverage. And we've been able to partner with companies, you know, that are of our size, you know, and share resources and that sort of thing. So, you know, all of those things, it's like, it's hard to say what's the number one, but they all have a huge impact.
So as you said, it's about premium, it's about quality. It's something we at Chef's Best are obviously hearing regularly. So what are the key differences between loose leaf and bag tea, which I can just feel your head about to explode on such a basic question. But go ahead and share, you know, if I know nothing, except that tea is tea, how do I understand what the differences are?
Yeah, so I'll give kind of a general general answer to that, or as general as I can make it. So you know, tea bags, especially the ones that are the more traditional tried and true brands, the tea in there is actually what they call fannings. So it's they call it tea fannings because it's literally like the kind of like the dust that collects when you sift tea. So it's actually tea. I mean, it's part of a tea leaf, but it's a minute piece of a tea leaf. And the reason, companies and the reason why tea has been packaged that way for so long in the U.S. is because of convenience. And one of the things that a, low grade tea bag can do is it can brew up a cup of tea very quickly, right? Where you might only need to steep it for a minute or two and you're going to get, you're going to get a cup of tea, right? Loose leaf tea is much, much different. You're actually getting the full leaf that you would see on a tea tree. So a tea tree, like, basically looks like a bush. And the leaves that come off that tree are very similar to the leaves that you see on falling off the trees in your neighborhood. But these little bushes, they grow in different areas, around the world. And a lot of it's grown in elevation. A lot of tea comes from Asia, of course. And so it's like, okay, it's not only a higher quality product, but loose leaf tea has been proven to have higher health benefits. So the antioxidant levels are higher. In some cases, the caffeine content is higher. And you're able to really create these amazing flavors. And then, the other thing that's really cool with loose leaf is, you're mixing these big fruits, herbs, spices. So like in some of our teas, for example, we have like big pieces of mango. Real mango. And, of course it's freeze dried or, dehydrated, but it's a real fruit, right? So you're not just getting flavor from, the tea leaf or whatever, but you're also getting it from the fruit itself, which is really cool. So loose leaf tea, it's not, the preparation method is obviously a little different than dipping in a tea bag. But really, it takes the same amount of time. It's really not any different. And, what we like to say is, once you get loose, you never go back. That's actually the last line of our story on our packaging. And that's what's happened. And it happens to a lot of people that we know. And that's really where the difference lies. It's just, it's way tastier. It's got way more health benefits. Just overall, better beverage for you.
So I recall seeing on your website something along the lines of 500 ingredients from 80 countries around the globe. So I'm curious, how on earth do you keep track of all that? I mean, who's the logistics and warehousing wizard behind that? I could just only imagine cylinders or containers of so much of this and needing to track the inventory to make sure that you can supply to your ever-growing network of retailers. So that seems to me to be a unique challenge as compared to, a t-shirt company that just has t-shirts and needs to print and sell t-shirts, 500 ingredients, 80 countries. So just what is that like? I don't even know where to start with a question because it just boggles my mind. You're a 17 person company. You don't have 500 people to manage something like that. That's a complex supply chain.
Yeah, it really is. And one of the things about our supply chain, it's kind of a two-pronged thing for us because, we've partnered up and we have some great videos on our Facebook page that you guys can check out that really do a good job of explaining this, but it's, at the end of the day, it's all about having good partners. And we've partnered up with many different tea suppliers, over the years, but there's one specifically that we love to use. And what we do with these guys is they're actually based in Hamburg, Germany. And so Hamburg, Germany is actually, They say that, 80% of the world's, herbs and spices pass through the Hamburg port. It's been a hub for teas, fruits, herbs, ever since, the beginning of time. I shouldn't say the beginning of time, but, it obviously was very popular, 1400s, 1500s. It's one of the largest ports in the world right now. You know, I've gotten the chance to tour it a few times. It's incredible. But anyway, these, so our partners out there, you know, and we have many of them, we work with them to basically, we come to them, we actually fly to Germany, a couple of us, you know, myself, Patrick, my business partner, my COO, Alex, the three of us usually go together, and we come with concepts and we say, you know, hey guys, we're interested in doing a black tea with, you know, mangoes, oranges, passion fruit, you know, and pineapples. You know, is this something that we can do? And so we talk to them about it, and then we start tasting. And for days on end, we are tasting different iterations or versions of that tea, right? And so one might have 10% pineapples, and one might have 5% pineapples, right? One might be heavier on the black tea, one might use a different style of black tea. There's all these different variables. And so at the end of the day, what we're looking to do is create an affordable, high quality tasting beverage. And to do that, you have to work within some parameters, but it really is an awesome process, very creative. So, you know, when we talk about 500 ingredients, we have access to 500 ingredients. So, you know, if there's an ingredient that's on trend, you know, like turmeric's been a huge trend, you know, matcha's been a huge trend, we've been able to capitalize on that. And we've been able to do it in a way that's just really, really a little bit more mainstream and fun. You know, we like to make tea a lot more fun. And so anyway, once we create the recipe and we finalize that, it's blended in Germany. Again, ingredients from all over the world, blended in Germany, comes to us in the U.S. And then that's where we package it up and distribute it out. And so, yeah, Alex, our COO, he's done a tremendous job, you know, keeping up with all our different teas, all the different ideas that have worked or haven't worked. And, you know, we currently have about 40 teas on our menu. We do some private label as well. Of course, not allowed to reveal who we do it for, but for some of the major retailers that people are very familiar with, you know, and so for people like them, we'll make a custom tea, right? Where they come to us and they say, hey, I'm looking for this flavor profile at this price. Can you do it? And then it ends up being an item of theirs. But we produce the whole thing. So it's a really, really fascinating industry. It's one that we've learned a lot about. And, you know, as the years go by, you know, we're looking more and more to go out to origin, you know, film, you know, talk to the farmers specifically, see how we can help them and really just, you know, kind of grow the industry.
Awesome. And what you know, you organize by tea function, which is a really cool idea. I'm not sure if I've seen it elsewhere with energizer, slenderizer, immunity, relaxer, and eternity, which I take to mean, you know, longevity and long-term health. What product has proven to be, I don't know if I want to say most popular, but what are your top sellers?
So, you know, in terms of a product line, traditionally the slenderizers have been the most popular, and that's where all of our green teas fall under. So green tea is obviously something that is just, the health benefits are just crazy through the roof. Super good for you, you know, zero calorie. I mean, it has all those attributes. So the slenderizers do sell pretty well. We have one called Fruity Pebbles that's a fan favorite. Our best selling tea overall is a tea called Maui Mango. It's in our immunity line. It's just an unbelievable tea. It is bar none, one of the best teas on the market, in my opinion. Just because of it has so much flavor. It is sweet. It's naturally sweet from the fruits, and it kind of tastes like juice. Like it tastes like a mango, kind of pineapple, strawberry juice. But really all it is it's a tea. Or, you know, in the case of that product, there's actually no tea leaves. It's just a bunch of different fruits and herbs and spices mixed together to create this blend. And then you use hot water or cold water and brew it. And then, you know, you have your cup of tea. So it's, you know, there's a lot of flavors. My personal favorite is one called Lean Green Machine. Another popular one is Blueberry Wild Child. You know, and some of these flavors are going to be out, in Target in bottled form as well. So you'll be able to buy Maui Mango at Target starting in January. Same with Blueberry Wild Child, you know, Lean Green Machine and a couple different ones. So Yeah, we have quite the flavor selection.
Yeah, and they look great on online as well. I do have one question. This isn't not meant to challenge you or your company in any way, but I've always been curious. So here we are. You know, tea is a specific plant, and you know, there are some folks that you know would prefer if herbal teas that don't contain the tea plant not be referred to as teas. Because short of, you know, the steeping process, the drinking process, they're not teas. It would be like, I don't know, calling something pizza that doesn't have bread, cheese, and sauce or something, you know? Is that something that you grappled with, or did you, you know, not worry about because, you know, the common lexicon permits you to, you know, call something like mango, pineapple, fruit tea, a tea, even though it doesn't have tea in it. I'm just curious. And like I said, I've always wondered. So here we are.
Yeah, no, it's actually a great question. We get it all the time, actually. And, you know, the best way for me to explain it is in North America, any beverage, you know, anything with tea leaves, of course, is considered tea. But, you know, a blend of fruits, herbs, and spices mixed together, brewed up in hot water or cold water, steeping the product and then removing those fruits, herbs, and spices to create a beverage. In North America, that's considered tea. It's part of the lexicon. It's part of society. People understand what that is. You know, it's funny, for all the business we do, almost no customers ask us that question. I get this question more from, you know, from people like you guys, you know, podcasts and whatnot. But it's one of those things where that's what's recognized as tea. And then the second thing, which is also important, is, you know, if you look to how other countries, what they call tea. So like in Germany, for example, they call a mixture of fruits and herbs and spices, they call that a fruit tea. I can't spell it because I don't know German, but it's one word, and the word is fruit tea. And that's what they call it, right? And so it's like, are there any tea leaves in there? No, but that's the word for it. And, you know, for me, that was really like the eye-opening thing, where I'm like, okay, it's not even just generally recognized as tea in North America, but in other countries around the world, that's what they call this. And there really is, I mean, you could call it an infusion, you could call it, you know, an herbal tisane. I mean, there are, you know, a million different phrases that people use. But at the end of the day, you know, you want it to be relatable to people. People want to know, you know, what is it that I'm buying here today? And you know, that's generally recognized as tea.
Sure. Well, I appreciate you giving a succinct, a full answer to that, rather. I think etymology teaches us that words change over time. And you know, in our culture, that's what it means. So, you know, there's not a problem in the marketplace. Before we go, tell me a little bit about the Loose Change Initiative and why that's important to Tieste.
Oh, I'm really glad you asked that, because that's been a core part, you know, core foundation of our company since we got started. And so there's a couple things that we do. One that we've done for a couple of years now, and one that's coming up right now. The first one is an event that we host called Spread the Warmth. We do it typically in mid-January every single year. And what we do in the months before Spread the Warmth is we collect hats, gloves, you know, non-perishable food items, coats, all these different things from our community. So, you know, whether that's companies, whether that's individuals, whether that's our customer base that sends them in, we take all of those. And on that night, so we do it at night, we brew up as much tea as we possibly can. We organize all the goods that we've collected over the last couple months, and we go out to the streets of Chicago and pass it out to the homeless. And so, you know, we have teams. I mean, last year we had a great turnout. I mean, just dozens of teams going to different parts of the city in Chicago. And as you guys can probably imagine, it's freezing cold in January in Chicago. And And so one of the cool things is, you know, not only are you giving them, you know, some items that they can keep, you know, but we're also spreading some warmth, you know, and giving them a hot cup of tea, and they love it. You know, they're very, very thankful. We get a chance to go in the shelters. We help them serve food a little bit. We walk around, we hand out stuff, and it's just an amazing experience. And so, you know, this year we're doing it the same thing, but just on a bigger scale. And so, you know, we're partnering up with Social Works, it's Chance the Rapper's charity group. So we're partnering up with them on this year's event. And, you know, we typically get a couple big names in, you know, so TBD on that. And it's really an amazing event. And the second thing we do, which is actually coming up now, is a couple of years ago, we went to our suppliers and said, hey, how do we give back to some of these farmers? Because we realized that we were buying, you know, all these ingredients and, you know, it's like, yeah, of course it benefits the, you know, the blenders in Germany, but it also benefits, you know, these communities around the world that you don't even know about. And so he said, you know, hey, we have a great partner for hibiscus. He's like, all the hibiscus that's in your teas, that comes from Nigeria. And he said, essentially, what do you guys think about trying to get in touch with them? I said, yeah, put me in touch. So we had a conversation with them and just basically asked the guy who runs the hibiscus plant, you know, what do your farmers need? And he said the number one problem for his farming community is access to clean water. So, you know, in some of these villages in Nigeria, obviously very poor. And, you know, some people just, they literally pick hibiscus flowers for a living. It's almost like their currency. And so, you know, one of the things that they have to do as, you know, as a human being is you need water. You need water to consume, you need water to shower, you need water for just about everything. And some of these wells, these water wells that they get the water from, they have to walk, you know, miles and miles with buckets on their head. And that's obviously not really, you know, efficient. And, you know, some of the women, a lot of times it's the women in Nigeria that have to do that. They'll spend the whole day walking to get water and then bringing it back to their family. So it's very sad. And so went to that partner and said, you know, how can we, you know, truly make an impact? He said, do you guys want to build a well? And we said, yeah, of course, you know, sign us up. And so we're building our first well in a couple weeks. We haven't made the official announcement yet on, you know, on our social media outlets or whatever, but, you know, we're starting to get the word out a little bit. We're going to do it, you know, full blown. So we're going out there, filming a video, going to drive a lot of awareness about it. And we're already getting people coming up to us and saying, hey, you know what? I want to buy a well. How do I do that? And so each well services 50,000 people. So, you know, the first well is 50,000. Then you have two wells. Those wells now service 100,000 people. And we believe that this is the best way to directly help people. You know, rather than fair trade, you know, rather than just donating to a charity, we're taking it into our own hands. We're doing that on the community level with Spread the Warmth in Chicago, and then we're doing it on a worldly level, you know, with our hibiscus farmers in Nigeria.
That's great. You're giving back to many different communities and supporting, you know, all individuals within. That's great. So before we go, you know, you already mentioned, but it seems that you're almost at the point where asking you where you can get Tiesta tea is an unnecessary question, because you're all over the place now. And then TiestaTea.com, of course, is a reliable source to be able to order directly. It's an amazing story. I mean, I'm sitting here thinking, okay, we've got, let me put it this way, and I'm going to half step up on a soapbox here. There's plenty for us in 2017 to complain about, right? And to say, oh, the world is going to hell, right? But you've got a pair of best friends from preschool who were in Prague and Paris, started a company in Chicago with product that I never knew, 80% of which about passes through Hamburg, Germany. And in addition to providing a quality product, is helping the homeless in Chicago and in tens and hundreds of thousands of folks in Nigeria. If that's not a modern story, it's something to you know, be a little bit optimistic about where the world's headed, then I can't help you. So
I agree. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much for coming on, sharing your story. Wish you the best of luck. I don't think you need it with all the success you've had, but just keep grinding away, I guess. And we'd be curious to see where you are, you know, in a few months and years down the road.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Thanks again, Scott, for having us today. Really appreciate it. It's just such an honor to be where we're at, and you know, we want to change the world, and we're doing it in our way. We're trying to do it the right way, and just make an impact on people, whether it be with our tea, drinking our tea, you know, or, you know, being part of our company or whatever it is. It's a big universe, and you know, we just want to do our part.
Super. Well, thanks again for coming on, and best of luck.
Thanks. Thank you, Scott.
Thank you for joining us on Just a Taste, the Chef's Best Production. Join us again next time as we talk to more experts in marketing, retail, production, and the food and beverage industry. As always, visit chefsbest.com to learn more.